Okay, good evening, everyone. We're continuing our fourth class in Increasing Your Jewish IQ. We have gone through the Sfiros. We've gone through the 7 days of the creation, including the Shabbos. We've gone through the seven shepherds. We've gone through the 10 Sfiros, the 10 questions you get on the final exam, and what body parts that contrasts, compares with. Now we're going to get into another area. It's all going to link. Everything keeps linking, and I have three topics here. I have no idea when I prepare this how long each topic takes. First time I'm doing this, so I figure we could get all three done. But the way, if you notice, I did send notes, these notes, a couple weeks ago. But since I had a couple more weeks to think about it, I added things to it. So now you got a much more complete notes. What you are looking, people are listening on tape. I strongly advise you to download the PDF, or it's going to be a little bit harder to follow. As a matter of fact, it's going to be. Okay, you have in front of you the Aleph Beis on the chart, the way you would see it in a Sefer Torah. Let's just make. Oh, I don't want to do that. That's when I start playing with it. I get myself in trouble. Okay, is it big? It's big enough. Right? Now, it looks a little different than what you'll see in other spots. Let's see if I have it somewhere else. 1 minute. I guess not. Oh, you know what? I guess I forgot to do... whatever. Anyway... Oh, yeah, I remember what I did now. Okay, so this is how they look in a Sefer Torah. Okay, this is the Hebrew alphabet. So what do we know about the Hebrew alphabet? Well, we got, first of all, if you count it, there's 22 letters there. How many are in the English alphabet? 26. Okay, how many in the French alphabet?
26. Same alphabet.
What about Greek? Greek? I don't know. Anyway, but we'll see. There's going to be another few that we don't have over here, right? I mean, five more, as we'll see shortly. Anyway, what do we know about these letters, and how is this going to connect to the information we've been learning until now? Opa. Well, the Midrash says that God looked into the Torah and created the world, meaning to say that the Torah is the blueprint of creation, just like you look at a blueprint. And that will tell you exactly how to build a structure. Now, unless you're an architect, you don't know how to read a blueprint. So unless you're a great mystical scholar who understands the mysteries of the Hebrew alphabet, you wouldn't understand by looking at the blueprint either. But God took the letters of the Hebrew alphabet and was able to create the world. So the best way to understand this is that the Hebrew alphabet is the spiritual periodic table for all matter that exists. So I think I could be wrong. Was it Mendeleev who came up with the periodic table?
Yes.
Whoa, I don't know where that one came out from. You're going back well over 45 years to pull that one out of the head. I don't know how I shouldn't put that in my mind. Useless information. But anyways, that's for tonight. But just like he was, that was a big guy, right? Periodic table, all that. You know, there's atomic. And they what? I can't even remember, tell you about the first 12 or 13 because I made a song out of it. So I had to write it on a test. We had to put up the whole periodic table. So I made up a little song, you know, getting hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium.
And still learn the same melody.
And some no, I made up a yeshiva shenigan. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, and they have atomic weight, don't they? Atomic weight. So it's the same thing. The Hebrew letters are the spiritual periodic table for all matter that exists. And whatever the Hebrew word for something is, the letters are the periodic table for that. So just like if you hear, give me a periodic equation, H2O. Mm-hmm. Okay, H2O. What's H2O? I don't know. It's H2O, right? Two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. What's the atomic weight of hydrogen? One?
Yeah.
Oxygen is more than that. How much oxygen? Maybe 3, 4, I don't remember. But hey, so two parts of hydrogen, that's two, and whatever oxygen is, and that's how you get water. So guess what? Anything in this world was created with Hebrew words. And the Hebrew words have their own periodic table, a spiritual periodic table. Anything that is in science comes directly from Torah. There's no such thing as science that's not part of Torah. Okay? And whatever you have in the Torah, that's where science picks up from where the Torah has already put things into place. So it's really important that every Jew knows all 22 letters of the alphabet, chick chock. Just like you could do, I can do the English alphabet, A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, L, U, S, R, L, U, S, R, right? So you should do the alphabet, Gimel, Dal, Hebrew, Sinai, Chesed, Yud, Chof, Rav, the same way. Right? Don't you think that's important to know? Right? So that's another one of these skill sets. Now, we're not going to get this in 1 week. I'm calculating 7 weeks for us to know the alphabet. I mean, to know it, in order. Do you think that's important or not for a Jew? Tell me. I'd like to hear anyone say, no, you don't need to know that. Well, if you plan on using English transliterations in the sitter for the rest of your life, then maybe you don't. But I think that's really important. And you're going to see it ties in to so many concepts we've learned already. That's what I'm trying to bring home over here. Well, let's just take a look at a little bit. I want you to get comfortable with these letters. I want you to be intimate with these letters. I want you to have a relationship with all these letters. If it was a really, you know, like a Montessori school, I'd have block letters and you'd be playing with them and you'd be building letters with this. Oh, I don't have time for that. But as much as we can as adults, we'll try to figure this out. The goal for today is a very big goal. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. Do you think you could walk out of the room tonight knowing those four letters whenever I point to you and you'll know their atomic weight? Okay. Every week, I'm going to try four letters, and you got to review them, and you're going to know them all. But let's just give you a little sampling of what the Talmud and Shabbos says in source number four. Is this big enough? Can you read this or not?
Yeah.
Because I can make it bigger for you. You want it bigger? We can do it. Watch this. Oh, I love doing this. 1 second. We can make it a lot bigger. Hang on. Oh, no. What's going on? I don't want that. Let's try one more. What is going on? It's not letting me do it. Okay. We're going to have to just...
It's fine. It's really fine.
It's fine.
Okay. If you say so. The Gemara says that children came into the Beis Medrash and said things the like of which was not even said in the days of Yeshua, the son of Nun. The children were reciting the Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis stands for Aluf Bina. Aleph, Aluf, sounds pretty much the same. Bina, Bey stands for Bina. Learn understanding. Aleph, Beis, Aleph, Bina, learn understanding. Gimel, Dalet stands for Gomel, Dalim, which means show kindness to the poor. All right, we'll go over this many, many times before the night's over, so you don't have to memorize it right now. Okay, very interesting. We're starting the whole Torah, the whole letters, the building blocks of creations, the basic... You know, just like hydrogen is a pretty important element, you know, maybe more than zinc. You know, oxygen, a lot more important than, I don't know, carbon. I don't know.
Carbon's pretty important.
Oh, whatever. The ones that are down on the list, whatever. There are, but if push came to shove, what do you need more, oxygen or potassium?
Oxygen.
All right. All right. You know, you need certain things more than others, right? We're not minimizing anything, but some are more important. So I guess the first letters are the most important. Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina. Learn understanding. Gimel Dalet. Show kindness to the poor. The Marshal explains why we're starting this way. Well, we're going to see shortly. There's pillars of the Judaism. And the world was built on three pillars. One is the pillar of Torah. So we learn Torah from one another, from a teacher. And that's Aleph Bina, Aleph Beis. Learn understanding from a teacher. Then we proceed to the next most important thing, bestowing acts of loving kindness, and that's Gomel Dalim. That's already two of the huge pillars that Judaism rests on. Don't you think it would make sense they'd be the first letters? So it's easier to understand why Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet are the first letters, and we're not going to start from Resh, Lamed, or Mem. I'm trying to make this logical so you could really remember this, okay? So now it's very interesting. So let's take a look. I will have to go up over here. Let's take a look at these three letters. Kuf, Resh, Shin.
Shin.
Yes, Kuf, Resh, Shin. You jumble it up. You put the Shin first and then the K, Kuf, and the Resh. You get the word Sheker. Falseness. Interesting. Let's take a look at something else. You got an aleph in the beginning, a mem in the middle, and a suf at the end. Emes. What does that spell?
Emes.
Okay. So now, what would that teach us? So let's take a look at what the commentaries have to say over here. Gemara, really. Why are the letters Shin, Kuf, Resh close together? They're right next to each other. Right? While the letters MS are far apart. The answer is, falsehood is frequent, truth is rare. It's false is one right after the other. Everybody's lying. Just turn on the TV. They're lying from start to finish. You're looking for MS, you get a little bit over here, a little bit over there, a little bit at the end. That's already one of the great messages. Also, MS for some to be true. Sheker appears to be true. False appears to be true in the small sphere that it's in. When you hear the lie in this little context, ooh, it looks so true. But then when you investigate, you know, Trump for sure colluded with the Russians. For sure he colluded with the Russians. And then after 2.5 years, they find out it never happened. Oh, after 2.5 years, you see it's not true. The sheker only lasts when it's close together. Over time, it doesn't last. And if something is true, it'll be true in the beginning, it'll be true in the middle, it'll be true at the end. That's what truth is. Okay, so now you really know that. And the first letter of MS is Aleph. Okay, how about if you look at the way the letters are formulated again? Look exactly how they're formulated. The kuf sits on one thing. The resh sits on one thing. The shin sits on one point. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. Do you see those letters sitting on one point? Let's look at the aleph. How many points does the aleph sit on?
Two.
How about the mem?
Two.
Two. How about the saf?
Two.
Two. What is that telling us? Sheker cannot stand while truth can. Whoa, wow. That's part of the periodic table. When you put those three letters together, there are certain elements that can last longer than others. I'm sure there are, right? So we're the element of Aleph Mem Sof is something that's going to last forever, while the elements of Shin Kuf Resh do not last forever. Okay, that's just giving you some little ideas of what's going on. The Medrash says that what's the first letter of the Torah? What's the first letter of the Torah? Breishis. Why was the first letter? Why was Beis chosen as the proper letter with which to begin the creation? Since it is also the initial letter of the word Beracha. Blessing starts with a Beis. In addition, if you look carefully, I got to move it down. Let's look at, remember, Hebrew's written in which direction? Right to left, right? If you look at a base, and you're looking at it, so now it's closed at the bottom, closed at the top, closed at the front. You only have one way to go with that letter. Straight ahead. So the base says, don't ask questions what happened before creation. Just you can ask what happened once we started the game. That's what the base is telling us as well. Okay, now of course the Aleph was really not so happy that he couldn't start the Torah, so Hashem had to pay it back. How do you pay it back?
Amen.
No, that's a nice idea. That's a great idea, but that's not what the Gemara says. The Medrash says it starts the Ten Commandments. The first word of the Ten Commandments is Anochi Hashem Elokeinu. It starts with an Aleph. Hashem made it up to the Aleph. Okay. Another reason why the world was created, the first letter with a base, because we're going to talk about that there are two worlds. We're going to see the gematria of base is two, and God created two worlds, this world and the next world. I don't want to get too mystical, just you know, the spiritual counterpart of each letter derives from the individual spheros. So the letter Aleph comes from Keser, Beis from Chachma, Gimel from Bina, and so on. Just to let you know that there is some, I'm not going to go there right now, but just know there's connections everywhere. So we're going to take a look at four letters tonight. We don't want to overload anybody with too much information. Okay. Now, let's take a look at this letter, Aleph. The right side is the way you'll see it more in a Siddur. I want you to realize the way I'm showing it to you on the top is where you'll see it in a Sefer Torah. That's called the Ksav Ashurit. Now, this one, I guess when you have printing presses, it's a little bit hard to make with all the little fancy picture, because so it looks a little bit more, whatever you want to say, blocked off. So you may see letters more like this, but I want you to see both of them, because a lot of the interesting things about them are more in the way the letters are from the creation letters, as opposed to the way they fit better for the printing press. Okay, but we want to talk about another concept for a minute called gematria. Very important idea, gematria. Gematria means the numerical values of the letters. So just like you're going to learn 27 Hebrew letters, you got to know 27 gematrias. And as you learn each letter, you're going to understand the gematria. And it works really easy. I'm just showing you the big picture. Don't worry, you don't got to remember that much for next week. But this gives you the big picture. Starting from left to right, you see the Aleph is 1. Very, very complicated system. The Beis is 2. Gimel is 3. Going right down, the first 9 letters is single digits, 1 through 9. You see that. When you go from Yud to Tzadi, it's now the tens column, 10 through 90. And then Kuf, Resh, Sin, Sof adds the regular letters. It's the hundreds column. But then you have 5 Sofiot, the final letters, Chaf Sofis, Mem Sofis, Nun Sofis, Fe Sofis, Tzadi Sofis, all, and that's the order that they are, is another 100 each, to get 900. So isn't that interesting? We have 3 sets of 9. See, if you can just remember the concepts, it's easy. Gematrias are 1 through 9, 10 through 90, 100 through 900. Isn't that a lot easier than remembering 27 different things? Okay, now I just got to remember the first, the single, the, what is it called? The ones column, the ones column, the 10 column, the hundreds column, right? So the first 9 letters is the ones column. The next 9 letters is the tens column. The last 4 letters plus the 5 sophios is the hundreds column. Okay, and that's an easy way to understand that. And there's another way, that's what you do gematria. There's another form of gematria that just makes them all either 1 through 9 and drop the zeros. There's another mystical way of looking at letters, and we can just say, when looking for the lower class, just drop all the zeros and they have these numbers. But that's something much further down the list. I'm just throwing this in because you're going to see it's going to fit in over here. So now you know you got to memorize 27 letters and 27 gematrias. But they're easy because if you know the order of the letters, then you know how the order of the numbers goes really easy, correct? Is anyone getting nervous? No?
I wonder why they don't teach that.
Because. I don't know. You got to ask the principals about this. So let's start with the Aleph, okay? Now look at that Aleph again. See the Aleph? Too bad I couldn't fit it on the same page. I'm really not that good with computers. Anyway, let's get to really know our Aleph, to really feel comfortable with this Aleph. Every time you're looking at that letter, you don't got to think twice. You just say Aleph. By the way, what sound does the Aleph make? No, it doesn't. It doesn't make any sound. It can't make a sound unless you put some nakudos, some dots underneath. Okay? The Aleph says nothing. It sits there, nothing. If you put a dot under it, an O, it goes O, an A, it goes A. It can go O, I, A, E, E. And sometimes Y. But no. But that makes no sound. Easy to remember. What does it say? Nothing. Okay. Now take a look at that Aleph on the left, the way it says in the Torah. I'll go back, back, back. Go to this Aleph over here. See the Aleph up on the right-hand side over there? Do you see any Hebrew letters that it's made out of? Some Hebrew letters. Well, maybe if you look at it like this, it might be a little bit better because they gave the answers to you. See, the Aleph, it's a Vav. It's straight across. It's a diagonal. It's a diagonal Vav, yeah. Right? That's a Vav. You just have to turn your head like this, Sparky style, where there's one safer and 10 boys around it. One guy's reading it upside down. That's why Sparky knows how to read upside down. Some guys can only read it at a 45-degree angle. Very few can read it straight. It's very hard to read it straight. So you got this Vav, Azoi, and you got a Yud this way and a Yud that way. That's what an Aleph is. It's 2 Yuds and a Vav. Why is that? Well, that's a good thing to help you remember what it is. We will see in a minute. The letter Aleph. Aleph. Remember, every letter is spelled as a word. The Aleph is spelled Aleph, Lamed, Fei, Sofis. That spells Aleph. It says Aleph. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's as a word, it's like the word Aluf, which means prince, master, chief. It's the first letter, symbolizing the one and only, the eternal, the omnipotent God. That's what Aleph is. Aleph is God. That's the beginning, right? It is the symbol of God as the creator and the master of the universe. The gematria of Aleph, this is really hard one, it's the first one, is one. Now, I wonder why that's so. Well, I guess you figure out how many gods are there. Only Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's only one God. So it only can be one gematria. One. Now, you should remember the rest of your life. I could wake up in the middle of the night tonight. I'll call you at 3 a.m. What's the gematria of Aleph? One. He's one God, right? That's why many Torah works, such as the Babylonian Talmud, do not begin with page Aleph. You open up any Gemara, it starts with page Beis, in deference to Hashem. How dare us start with an Aleph? The Aleph is only one Aleph, it's God. We never can come to that. All the good books start with a Beis. Okay, now, let's take a look at the shape. I want you to get very friendly with the shape of the Aleph. I already said, get one more look. All right? The shape of the Aleph is composed of two yuds and a vav. Do you all see that?
Mm-hmm.
Do I have my stretching your imagination beyond? No? It's good. Right? Do you see it? Now, not a straight vav. It's at an angle. Okay, and some of the yuds are upside down, but it's still a yud. Since each letter of the vowel base has a pre-assigned numerical value, oh, so you got what? Two yuds and a vav, right? So let's go to our handy-dandy chart. Look for the yud. Where's the yud? It's 10. And how many yuds do we have?
Two.
Okay, do we know what 10 plus 10 is?
20.
And where do you see the vav?
Six.
It's 6. How much is that? 26. Do you see that? Is this too advanced, the math over here? No. Maybe the time is too advanced. It's after 8 o'clock. But the Aleph has a Yud and a Yud, 10 and 10, and above is 6 is 26. 26 is a very magical number. Why? Because the gematria of the four-letter ineffable name of God, the Yud, He, Vav, He, that's the big one. That's the letters that represent God as He is creator of everything beyond what we can know. It also equals 26. What a coincidence! Because Yud is 10, He is 5, Vav is 6, and He is 5, it's 26. This is the name that represents God as the eternal. Why? Because those four letters, you see those four letters? I didn't write them there. Yud, He, Vav, He. But you see them, Yud, He, Vav, He. They have three words inside of it. Hoya, Hoveh, Yiyeh. He was, He is, He will be. So even numerically, we're shown that God is one. You follow? Mm-hmm. You see what's going on over here? Did you know that? Didn't know that. Now, is it a little easier to know what an Aleph is? I mean, it's an interesting story, really. All right? Now, let's think a little bit more. The upper Yud, it's a very, very small letter. It's the smallest letter you can have at all. It's like a dot. We make it a little bigger. It's a dot. Represents God. Because it's also the first letter of one of God's names. Yud, He, Vav, He. So that Yud on top, that's God. Okay? And it's reaching for the heavens. Makes sense. Right? The lower Yud represents the Jewish people. Because what are we called? Yehudim. A Yid. We call in Yiddish, Jews call a Yid. A Yud. We're a Yid. We're a Yud. So we're a Yud in Hebrew. So we got God on the top, the Jews on the bottom. The Vav, what does the letter Vav in Hebrew mean?
And.
It's a it's and, right? And it's also, it's a connector. And, this and this. And it looks like a ladder, doesn't it? Like Yaakov's ladder. Yaakov's ladder, which was rooted in the ground, and the angels coming up and down, and God on top. So we have the diagonal Vav is uniting the Jewish people with God as represented by the Aleph, and that was the whole purpose of creation. God created the world to bestow pleasure to man, specifically the Jewish people, to bond with the Jewish people. That's what the original plan was. The very first letter is God, and what is his intention in this relation to the world is the Yud of God on top and the Yud of Jew below and the Vav behind to connect, and that's the whole purpose of creation. It's all in the letter Aleph! Right? You see how easy it is to remember that now that you know it, right? Question? Please.
That's why we have mezuzah of plus.
Well, the mezuzah, well, that's for other reasons. That's other reasons for that. Now, we can skip eight. I already wrote that somewhere else. Now, let's have some fun with the letter Aleph and see. Now that you know Aleph is God. Just think of God. Aleph is God. What's the numerical value of Aleph? One. How many gods are there? One. Aleph, one, God. Aluf, master, the one in charge. Hey, didn't we say that Aleph, Beis, Aluf, Bina, learn wisdom? Well, where's the wisdom coming from? From the Aluf. Right? Where else are you going to find it? There's no other wisdom in the world except the wisdom that comes from God. Okay, now let's just a couple fun things over here. How do you say a human being Jew? Adam. See that word by number 9? You see it over there? It's kind of small, I'm sorry. Adam. Adam means man, not any man. The Talmud says, Rak Yisrael Nikroim Adam. Just the Jews are man. Now let's see this word. It's just a good example. What is an Adam? You're every one of us an Adam. I know even ladies are called an Adam. Just want you to know. It's a generic term. Adam is a combination of the letter Aleph. That what the atomic weight of Aleph stands for God. Now, what's after the word Aleph, letter Aleph? What are you left with? Dalet and Mem spells Dam, blood. So what is a human being? Is only flesh and blood. You're only flesh and blood unless they bring God into their lives. Whoa! Wow! Whoa! So each one of you got an olive somewhere over there. The divine essence is there with lots of blood. Right? And that's what makes you an Adam, and hopefully they work together in synthesis, or you're going to be a spiritual schizophrenic. But that's what an Adam is. Just the Jews are called Adam. The non-Jews, we have another name for them, but not Adam. So let's try another interesting olive. But you see how it's very important that you have to start off knowing you got an Aleph. That really is going to represent your soul. Everything you see is just blood. You're a combination of that. Including the Aleph in our lives, meaning God, will usher in the era of Mashiach. Why? You don't have to know these words, but it's just interesting. The only difference between the words exile, which is gola, that's exile, and redemption, Geulah, it's only one letter difference. And what's that letter? Aleph. The Aleph. When Aleph, God, is placed into our lives in exile, we bring the redemption. I'm just giving you a few examples so that you'll understand that Aleph is God and you're never going to forget it for the rest of your life. And the atomic weight of Aleph is one, because there's only one God for the rest of your life. And how do you make an Aleph? You make a slanted Yud, and you have a slanted Vav, and two Yuds, and that's an Aleph, whenever you see it. And it says nothing. Good?
And it represents everything.
And represents the source of everything. If you remember what we said a couple weeks ago, that God is good. He's kind. Everything comes from kindness. What did we say about divine kindness? What did we say about divine kindness? What's the difference between divine kindness and secular kindness? What's the difference between God and Mother Teresa or Jesus Christ? What's the difference between God and those people? When God does kindness, he does it. No?
Without response.
With what?
Without any reason.
But I know without a reason, but... What? I know it's unconditional, but... When he does it, do we know we got it from him? No. He does it very under the radar.
Subtle.
What's the word I'm looking?
Surreptitiously.
Surreptitiously.
Settled.
We don't even know what we've received from him. He didn't put a stamp on your head saying made in heaven. I don't see any of them. And he created you with a mind that you could deny that God exists. So how much noise did God make when he gave you? Nothing. So what does the olive say?
Nothing.
Because God doesn't have to say anything. He doesn't want you to be forced to be the recipient of his condescending kindness every second without his putting energy into you. Every single second you drop dead, you'd incinerate, you wouldn't exist, and he's just pulling all these this energy to make you go, and you don't even know it's God the whole time is doing it for you. What's he saying? Nothing. That's an olive. Okay. So Aleph is the channel by which the infinite spiritual is brought to the finite physical, represented by the bays, dot, 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 dot. So let's take a look at the bays. Now again, this is the way you're going to see a bays in your sitter. But remember, the bays is really looking like the bays is in the beginning. It looks a little bit different, subtle differences, but there are big differences in knowing this. Okay, we good so far? Everybody's happy?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Want to be happy. God began the Torah with the letter Beis, Bereshis, for it is the initial of Biracha, blessing, and Biria, which means creation. Okay. Now, what's the gematria of Beis? Two. It's the second letter. What's so special about two? Two represents duality and plurality, correct? And there is diversity in every part of creation, in Berea. One is one, but two is plural. Only in the Creator himself does absolute oneness prevail. The Aleph is one, but after that, it's the world. The world is multiplicity. There's no such thing as one anything. So now the Beis begins what God is creating. Okay, good. Now, literally, base is means the word like bias, which is a house. It's the same letters as a house. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. Looks a little bit like a house, doesn't it? What's it missing?
The door.
Well, the door is open, of course. Every Jewish home, you keep the door open for guests, don't you? All right. We don't want to have a house closed on all four sides and no one gets into our house. That's not good, right? But what kind of house? It alludes to the focal point of holiness on earth. Where does God connect to the creation more than anywhere else? In the house. Which house? The house of God. The Beis HaMikdash. That's the Beis. That's where God's direct connection to the world. Matter of fact, the Talmud says when God created the world, there was the foundation stone, which lies right at the center and the earth under the base of Israel, where all of the world was created from them. Where the Genesis effect began. If you look about Star Trek, you'll know more about what I'm talking about. Anyway, the Holy Temple of Jerusalem and to the house of man. What about your own house? Your own house can be a miniature sanctuary. That's where the divine presence can be felt, in the base of Migdash, in a shul, which is a miniature temple, in your home, which is a miniature temple, and that's your house that's got an open door. Says the Maharal, God created the world with a base, imbued it with blessing, for he is blessed, and from him too true blessing emanates. But true blessing is only when opposites work together to achieve common purpose. Right? Because you can have a lot of different things, but if they're not working together, it's going to be a mess. You'll see lots of examples in a minute. So base represents cooperative endeavor. Remember, what do you want to have in your house? Shalom?
Bias.
Shalom, bias. Bias, bays. What makes a bias? Husband and wife. Ho, ho, ho. They're two people, and boy, are they different. But boy, they better work cooperatively together if you want to have God's presence in your house. Right? Let's have a few examples of where you need cooperation in this multiplicity of the world. Heaven gives light and rain, and earth receives it and produces fruit. Very opposite things, heaven and earth, totally opposites, but they're meant to work together. The moon reflects the light that is radiated by the sun. another example. Adam and Chava were incomplete with each other. Husbands and wives are incomplete with each other. Man must accumulate merits in this world so he can get merit, eternal merit, in the world to come. Lots of pairs. There's this world, there's next world, they're meant to work together. That's what the idea of the bays is. The shape. Let's look at the shape of the bays. Now we got a. You can see it in this one. Okay, the top. What's the top doing?
Reish.
Yeah, but what's the top pointing to?
Up.
It's not just a cross point. What's the bays, the back of the bays, leaning into? Well, it's hard to see. This part here. It's leaning back. Mm-hmm. It's like falling back a little bit. It's not like straight like this. It's not angled this way. But it's like angled back. They got that little thing up there, right? That's the shape. Now remember, bays. Remember, bays, bias, house. It's got to look like a house. The front door's got to be open for guests. It's pretty easy to know that, right? That's what a bays is. And bays, obviously, is going to go buh, because it's a bays. So once you know what the letter's called, it's easy to remember. Except Aleph does not go ah. Aleph is God. God's quiet, doesn't do anything. Shh, quiet. Okay? So bays. Where am I up to now? So morale. I said the morale? Yes. Yes, yes. Shape. Its upper left corner points upward to heaven, symbolically acknowledging the existence of the Creator, and testifying that the marvelous, intricate patterns of nature and the universe did not come about by chance, but were woven by one God. That base is pointing back up to the one God and connecting. The base of the letter also points to the Aleph, sideways, that symbolize God's oneness. This indicates that man can best achieve an understanding of God through study of his creation, represented by the letter Beis. Since it's impossible to comprehend the Almighty in his essence by pure intellectual prowess. So that's what the Beis is telling. The Gi connected to the Aleph. Upwards, sideways to the Aleph, whatever it takes. And that's how you get, that's the Aluf Bina. Learn wisdom. Right? That's all connected. So what really happens, if you think about it, Aleph, the one God and his Torah, gives birth to the Beis, the physical world, forming the union of Aleph Beis, as if to express the relation of being a father and a son. And how do you spell father? Aleph Vav. Vav's. Av is a father. Aleph Beis is a father. When this relationship is healthy, it symbolizes stability. The word for rock, which symbolizes stability, is Evan, which is a contraction of, look how we read it. Take the first two letters of Evan, is Av, is a father. What's the middle, second, and third letter? Ben is son. Mm-hmm. So you got stability, a rock, when you've got it working together. Wow, what's going on over here? So what do we have so far? Aleph taught us the oneness of God. From Beis, we learned that creation is replete with pairs. Holy and profane, male and female, influencer and influenced, which is going to bring us to the next example of that. Gimel and Dalet stand for one of those pairs, benefactor and beneficiary. Again, what's the first, without looking, what's the first letter in the alphabet?
Oh, yeah.
Aleph. What sound does it make?
Nothing.
What does it look like? Can you make it by yourself? Could you draw it freestyle? Yes, you're going to make a slanty vav and two yuds on the sides. And that's an aleph. And whenever you see aleph, you only think about one thing. And what's that? Hashem, the creator. How many creators are there? What's the numerical value of aleph?
One.
Beis, on the other hand, what's it look like?
A
bias, a house. But what's open? The front door is open. Where is it pointing? It's pointing upwards to the heavens, sideways back to the aleph. Together, the Aleph Beis, Aleph Bina, learn wisdom. It's the Father. It's the created world that's meant to reflect multiplicity that works in harmony. How are they going to work in harmony? You're going to learn the Torah. Torah will tell you how to work in harmony. That's the Aleph Beis. Now, a good example is Gimel and Dalet. You with me so far?
Yes.
Amazing. The Gimel, looks like that's about all we're going to do today is Aleph Beis. That's fine. So don't rush. Don't rush. Hashem's going to give us more life so we can finish this class before we die. We can have the class for 50 years. You know, so, you know, just keep learning. The more you got to learn, the more Hashem has to give you life. The gimel, that's how you write gimel as a full word, gimel, gimel, is cognate. Cognate's a fancy word, it's the same root as gamal. Gimel, mem, lamed. A gamal, what is the word? That's a verb, gamal, which means to nourish until completely ripe. There's all kinds of examples of the Talmud, maturity of almonds, we use that verb. But the most famous word is when the Hebrew word for weaning a baby, it says about Yitzchak, he was gamal, he was weaned. What does it mean you wean a baby? You've raised him enough that he can stand on his own. That's what weaning really means. The mother gives and nurses and nurses and nurses and nurses till he gets, I don't need you anymore, Mom. I can eat on my own. Right? Since bringing to maturity is a constructive, beneficial action that helps another, the term gemilas chesed is used to prescribe the performance of a kind deed. Chesed is kindness, but gomel means to nourish someone until they're completely ripe. It's like doing chesed, it's like you're nursing somebody, that they're going to grow and mature so they can go on their own. That's real kindness. That's divine kindness, not human kindness. Let's take a look at the shape. What is a gimel? Well, you know, you have to use a little imagination. Remember, gamal is also a camel. Gamal, camel, sounds pretty much the same. It's got a long neck, doesn't it? It's got a long neck. The camel receive its name because it's like a weaned child and can go a long time without drinking. Furthermore, the camel is equipped physically to endure tremendous stress, which enables it to help travelers survive the perils of the desert. Thus, the camel is the quintessential gomel chesed, performer of kindness. And you'll find the Torah, when it talks about a lot of kindness, they'll always have camels in the story. When Rivka was tested by Eliezer, she'd be kind enough to give water. What word is there dozens of times? Camel, 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 camel. That's the idea. So gimel, gamal, camel. It has a long neck like a camel. Okay, so far so good. Now Pirkei Avos. I got Aleph, Beis, Gimel. What other connectors? I'm trying to be remembered. Now you know that Aleph and Beis go together now because they spell Aleph, that spells father. How about Aleph, Beis, Gimel? How can I remember Aleph, Beis, Gimel? Aleph, Beis, Gimel. First three, very good. The Talmud says Pirkei Avos. The world stands on three pillars. Torah, Avodah, divine service, and Gemilas Chesed, acts of loving kindness. What a coincidence. Aleph, Aluf, Bina, stands for Torah study. Aluf, to learn from the master. Beis symbolizes Beis HaMikdash, the service of the Beis HaMikdash. Gimel represents acts of loving kindness. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chesedim is the Aleph, Beis, Gimel of Judaism. Interesting coincidence. What's the gematria? Gematria of Gimel is 3, a number which alludes to the concept that two opposing factors must be blended to form a third, more perfect entity. Got that? And we already learned that in our Sphiros. Chesed Gvura Tiferes, right? Netzach Hod Yesod. You're always blending the three together. That's what the Maharal has to say about this. I don't know if I went a little bit too intellectual here, but I just couldn't help myself. He says, the oneness of the Aleph denotes ultimate perfection that exists only with God. That's the Aleph. The duality of the Beis implies diversity and heterogeneity, multiplicity and incompatibility. The Gimel signifies the capacity to neutralize the dissimilarity of two contrasting forces and unite them into a lasting and more wholesome unit. You see what's going on over here. One creator created a diverse universe. They're meant to work together into a third unit that works together really nicely. Shalmelech, now you understand why Shalmelech, the three-ply cord is not easily severed. Or it's a concept called chazaka in Judaism. You do something three times. Why three times? This is what it's about. Three times you set a good routine, a pattern. You've synthesized things that you're doing the things the right way. Let's talk about another lot of threes. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Right? And we already know. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes. right? Three partners of the human being, Hashem, the father, and the mother. Three spiritual elements of man, nefesh, ruach, and neshama. That's beyond what I want to talk about now, but I'm just giving you some examples. Now, this is fascinating. The Medrash says the Torah is written with an aleph beis that forms sets of three letters, aleph beis gimel. In other words, let's just jump a little bit. Looky here, how interesting this is, this little chart. From right to left, aleph beis gimel, 1, 2, 3, right? 1, 2, 3. What's the average of aleph and gimel? Aleph is 1, gimel is 3, beis is 2 is the average. So you always have the 3, always the 1 in the middle is the mean. Aleph, beis, gimel, 1, 2, 3 equals 6 divided by 3 is 2, 2 is the middle one. Well, obviously it's going to work with all of them, right? Dalet, hey, vav, 4, 5, 6, the average is 5. Going in, that works in the singles column, works in the tens column. Remember we showed you this chart before. Where are you? Remember? I'm just doing it the other direction now. The ones column, the tens column, the hundreds column, right? But now instead of going that way, right, going down, but 9, 9, and 9, I could do the same thing, 3, 3, and 3, 9 times. Mm-hmm. And then when you get to the hundreds, and the final letter, tough, is 400, well, let's go to 500, 600, 700, 800. They all make the in-between. Now, that's more than just an interesting number game, but a lot of our threes work that way. Go back to number 8. The world is filled with many triads, isn't that a cool word, that signify units of ascending sanctity. We have three things. Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, Tanakh. Torah, the five books of Moshe. Nach are the books of the prophets. Ksuvim are the books of the writing. It's an ascension, what? Our writings. It's like Megillah Esther, all the Megillahs. Tehillim, Mishlei, Eov are those. We'll talk about that more, but just know Tanakh, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. Now, what's the difference? Torah is the Word of God. Mamish, the Word of God. Oh, that's way on the top. Ksuvim are things that we're, and we'll call with divine inspiration. That's the lowest. And Nevi'im is prophecy, which is in between. So you got, you know, like 1, Torah, 3, Ksuvim, 2, Nevi'im. So you see how a lot of these threes are the blend. Same thing with Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. Moshe, God talked to him face to face. Gave the Torah. Miriam, she was a prophetess. Aaron was a prophet, but also God told, spoke to him and gave him some mitzvahs to write in the Torah. So he's kind of in between Miriam and Moshe. Or how about the famous triad, Hashem, Torah, and the Jewish people? Hashem's way up there. Jewish people a bit lower, and the Torah is sandwiched in between. All fit in over here. Interesting piece of Talmud. We're coming up to Shavuos, source 8. Blessed is Hashem who gave his three-part Torah, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, to his three-part nation, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. Oh, I didn't put that one down. Kohen, he's the top man. Coins way out. He's holy, holy, holy. Yisrael's nice person. The Levi's in between. What does Levi mean? To accompany. The Levi makes the Yisrael comfortable to be in the presence of the Kohen. So the three-part Torah was given to the three-part nation through the third-born son, which was Moshe, was the third-born son of Avram. You had Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. Also, there was a descendant of Levi, who's the third son. Right, is what? Reuven, Shimon, Levi. On the third day in which the people sanctified themselves in Sivan, the third day of Refshin, in the third month of the calendar, which is Sivan. 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 3. Okay, all there with the letters 3. So now we've got Aleph, Beis, and Gimel. Right? The numerical value of Aleph is 1. What does it say? Nothing. What does it look like? A slanted vav in 2 yuds. It's telling us that's the creator and his relationship with the world. Beis sounds like a beis, goes, but numerical value is 2. Looks like a bayis, a house with the front door open. Means multiplicity, blessing, creation, all those beises. But everything is a mess from that. So therefore we need gimel, which begins to put things together and puts them to work in harmony with each other, and we're going to see it's the beginning of kindness that's going to happen as well. Long neck looks like a camel, numerical value of 3. Wow. Okay, let's go for the Dalet one more. We'll call it a day in this area. Isn't this interesting?
Yeah.
Fascinating. The Dalet, forget about the whole house, just has the shape of an open doorway. An open doorway. The name Dalet is cognate with the word Delis, which means door. A Delis is a door. That's a good name for it. The Dalet, listen to the word Dalet. Dalet begins the word Dal. Right, you hear? Dalet, Dal. Dal means a pauper. What does a pauper do? Who knocks on the door begging for alms. You have the open door giving to the poor man. That's the Dalet, the Delis. Where do you find the poor man? At your Delis, knocking on your door. The Dal, the Dalet, the Dal, the poor man knocks on the Delis because he needs kindness from you. The Maral says the Gematria, we know that the Gematria of Dalet is going to be what?
Four.
That represents the physical world that extends in how many directions? North, south, east, west is four. Even the metaphysical, I'm just throwing this in, you don't have to memorize this. And the metaphysical world, which we'll talk about a few years from now, is divided into four parts, the four worlds, Atzilus, Bri, Yetzir, Nasir. There's four worlds, spiritual worlds. The shape, we said, is like that of a door with its lintel spreading right and left and its doorpost reaching up and down. Now we put these two together. We started before. Aleph Beis, Aluf Bina, learn wisdom. Gimel Dalet, Gimel Gomel. Wean, make someone be able to nurture themselves. Dalet means Dal the poor. Wean the poor. Fascinating. Now take a good look at these two letters together. What do you notice? Let's go all the way to the top. Wee. Look at the Gimel and the Dalet. Can the Gimel see the Dalet?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wide open. What about the foot of the Gimel? It's like running after the Dalet. His foot is way out, right? You don't see this by others. See, the Gimel's foot is just way out there, right? How about the Dalet? Does the Dalet see the Gimel?
No.
His back is to the Gimel. Do you notice that the top, though, is kind of leaning back, and even this part here, the bottom is like leaning back. I wonder why God did it that way. So let's take a look. It's going to tell us everything here. Okay, why is the foot of the Gimel stretched towards the Dalet? Right, the foot of the Gimel should be because it is fitting for the benevolent to run after and seek out the poor, like Avram ran after the guests. These two letters represents one of the two principal themes of mitzvahs, man's conduct and obligations regarding his fellow man. And why is the roof of the Dalet stretched out towards the Gimel? Right? Because he, the poor, must make himself available to him. Don't make it hard for the rich man to help you. And why is the face of the Dalet turned away from the Gimel? Because he must give him help in secret, lest he be ashamed of him. Let's take a look again. Now, don't you see it all there, the Gimel and Dalet together? The Gimel's foot is running to the Dalet. The Dalet's top should be a little set back, so it's easy for the adult. If you need kindness, don't make it hard for the guy to find you. But his back is to the Gimel because he should not be ashamed to know who gives it to him. But the Dalet isn't looking to the Gimel, but where is the Dalet looking? To the hay. Well, we're going to have to wait next week for the hay, but I'll give it away. Sounds like a rhyme. Look at 12. Oh, I'm sorry, 11, right? But why does the Dalet turn its face to the hay? Because all who are poor in this world will be rich in the world to come, like all of Israel who busy themselves with mitzvos. We don't know what the hay still means. By turning his face towards hay, he acknowledges that it's really God who grants him sustenance and that he does not rely on human help. That hay is going to have be a lot to do with Hashem, which we'll talk about next week. The message you learn from the Dalet is don't look at the Gimel and depend on the Gimel helping you, the one is helping, but the hey, God, is the one who's going to help you. You see, Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. Aleph's numerical value of?
One.
Beis numerical value of? Two. Gimel numerical value of? Dollar numeric value of 4. The aleph is shaped like what? Two yuds and above. The base is shaped like a bias, a house, which is four walls, but the front door is open. Gimel is shaped like the camel, right? And it's running towards the Dalet because it's a camel, a gomel, weans, helps, supports. And the Dalet is the poor man who should be facing the hay and not being embarrassed to look at the gimel. Alphaz, gimel, Dalet, 1, 2, 3, 4. Amazing. But I could not resist. Why do we eat fish on Shabbos? Oh, it's my favorite topic. Why we eat fish on Shabbos? Now that you know your four letters and you know your gematrias, you know that Shabbos is which day of the week?
Seven.
How do you say a fish in Hebrew? A dug. Dalid, gimel. Dug. Dug is fish. What's the numerical value of 4? Of Dalid? 4. And gimel is 3. It's 7. That's why we eat fish on Shabbos. One of those things. Okay. So we've done the alphabet, but we still got another 12 minutes. We're not going to waste any time. We're going to go on to the next topic. Unless you guys are tired out. What? This was easy. Come on, you could now just write the four letters, write the gematrias, and know what they say. Come on, that's easy. Come on, that's you. By next week, come on, that's easy. Okay, the next one I want to look at is, what are my choices here? Let's take a look at the timeline.
Does the rabbi tell us anything about the
calculations? That's way beyond what we're able to learn. I don't want to overwhelm people. I want to make it, what's this? I don't want that. What does it say? Historical. Oh, this is not good.
Historical.
Oh. I know that's what this new... Let me try. Timeline of Torah. Okay, now, let's take a look at the Torah. Remember, the Torah is the blueprint of creation. How many days was the world created in?
Six.
How many years will the world exist?
6,000.
6,000. Good, good, good. So now we're going to try to get a little bit of context of how many of those years are in the Bible. So when you're learning the Bible, like what part of history are you looking at and what is the Bible basically made up of? So these are some of the common facts that we should all be aware with. It's a nice little chart over here. Now, you're not going to remember all these numbers. I just threw that in so you have a little handle, but you don't have to remember all. But you got to remember this chart. The chart's important. All charts are important. Well, from left to right, the name of the book, 5 books, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim. I'm sorry, I wish I could make these. You got to memorize those. I can't make it any easier. All right? Bereishis means in the beginning. Shmos means names. Vayikra, and he called. Bamidbar, in the desert. Devarim are words. But they have Talmudic names. Bereishis is called the book of creation. That makes a lot of sense. The book of Shmos is called the book of exile and redemption. That makes a lot of sense. Vayikra is the laws of the Kohanim. And any other holy Jews we would like to talk about. Bamidbar is the book of counting, and Dvarim's a review of the Torah. It's called Mishnah Torah, review of the Torah. I'm just giving you, you don't have to memorize all them, I'm just trying to make it a little comfortable. The English names, Genesis, because that's what creation is Genesis. Exodus is Exodus, but they forgot about the exile part. But anyway, Leviticus, that's Levi. Levi comes from Kohanim. Numbers, because it's called the book of counting. Deuteronomy, it means it's Greek for like review. So review of the Torah. Now, you should know, I want to let you know, that the 5 books are called books. It's called a Sefer. There's a common error. Everyone thinks, okay, now the book is divided up into smaller groups, as you see over here. Ooh, look at that. That's a nice, nifty chart. We've got the book of Genesis, the book of Exodus, the book of Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And what's the little bracketed thing is how many things are underneath it. Now, you're going to call them a parsha. They're not really called parshas. That's a very big misnomer. There's another... Parsha means something altogether different. They're really called a seder, an order. What you call a parsha is a seder. And if you look in the old books, they call it the sidra. For example, it's sidras bereshis. We call it parsha, but it's really a seder. It's an order. So the book of Genesis has 12 smaller sidros underneath it. Exodus has 11, Leviticus has 10, Numbers has 10, Deuteronomy has 11. Easy to remember, 12, 11, 10, 10, 11 is 54 parshas, sidras of the Torah. That's a number you should know. How many weeks in a year? 52. Kind of works out pretty good. You just got a fair way to squeeze two into the year, and you got just about enough weeks to read a parsha every week of the year. Okay. Now, not now you have to know all 54 names, but one day you should know all 54. That's a goal in life. It's not so hard as you think. Remember, take one book at a time. Genesis only has 12, Exodus 11, Leviticus 10, Numbers 10, Deuteronomy 11. I think you remember 12, 11, 10, 10, 11. I think you remember that in the five books. They're all got a one in the front of them. The big one is the first one, because that's where the creation came. So that was more numbers. Now it's a question of if it's not 12, it's either 11 or 10. So he got 11 by Exodus, 11 Deuteronomy, and 10 in the middle between them. 12, 11, 10, 10, 11. Now the gray is very interesting because that is the discussion of the tabernacle. The Mishkan starts in the middle of Exodus and by the beginning part of Numbers. So you see the middle chunk of the Torah is full of the tabernacle. Because tabernacles, the whole goal is Hashem's presence will come down to earth in the Mishkan, in the tabernacle. Okay? So, what I want you to know so far, there's five books. Can you remember there's five books? Yeah. Can you try to remember the five names? Okay. Can you remember how many sidros are in each book? 12, 11, 10, 10, 11. That's all you got to know for now. But you should have some idea of the time frame. So, the time of the book. Okay, Bereshis takes 2,309 years out of the whole creation. From the beginning of the book of Bereshis till the end. That's more than a third of the whole existence of the world. Remember, how many years is the world?
6,000.
From the beginning of Bereshis till the end of Bereshis. All right? That's 2,300 years. That's the biggest chunk for any book at all. So it's a good idea to know that Bereshit's got a lot of stuff going on there, but then again, not really, because 2,000 of it ain't very much at all. Remember we talked about the first day of creation represented what? What happened on the first day of creation?
Light.
And what's light? That giving. Chesed. Non-stop chesed. And what's happening? The people are rotten, and God just given, and that's the first 1,000 years, right? Then what was the second day of creation? Gvura, which was, what happened? Separating waters. Separating the waters. Judgment. And what did God do in those next 2,000? Destroyed the world two times. One with a flood and one with the Tower of Babel. So not a lot going on in that first 2,000 years. But those last 300, you got out from Yitzhak Yaakov. Things are beginning to happen. We're entering the third millennia, which is where things happening. The earth is the waters are going into one place. The earth is one place. We now can develop vegetation. The purpose is starting to be understood. The three patriarchs have been alive over here. A lot of good things are happening. That's all the first book of Reyes. 2,309 years. That's a lot of time. The book of Shmos, on the other hand, is only 139 years. And mainly it's 80 years. Mainly. In the first couple clauses, you hear about the other 59 years. That's about it. And that's mainly, but it's all 139 years. Third book of Vayikra, that's talking about korbanos and laws and this and that. It's only 14 months. Just 14 months. It's basically, you know, we got the Torah, and now we have to build the Mishkan, and then we start the Mishkan off, and that's a very short period of time. The fourth book is the main time we're in the desert. We were in the desert 40 years, but we got into the desert in Vayikra. We're going to finish this in Vayikra. So it's 38 of the 40 years. Fascinating. Devarim is one thing and one thing only. Basically, Moshe's farewell speech to the Jewish people that took 37 days. So that's the five books. You at least have a handle when you're looking at things historically. How much does each book have? You follow? Say 2,300 years in the book of Bereshit. Shmos is 139 years. Vayikra 14 months. Bamidbar 38 years. Devarim 37 days. You have a handle when you're in a certain book. You know what period of time you are in. Now, I gave you lots of details over here, and I leave that to your discretion, what you want to see or not. It tells you important dates that happened, the book, the parsha, etc., but you don't have to memorize. I'm just, you can look at it at your leisure, just get an idea when something happened of importance over there. But this does lead us to some historical periods. Again, I'm just giving you for context alone, so you have some idea. You don't have to memorize this. But, you know, you want to deal with the 10 generations from Adam to Noah. That's 1,056 years. The 10 generations from Noah to Avram, that's almost another 1,000 years. Right? The patriarchs, that's a period of time that takes about 300 years or so. Right? The Jews in Egypt, that's a period of 210 years. The Jews in the desert, 40 years. And then Joshua, Judges, etc. Going through different epochs of Jewish history. That, again, I'm not going to ask you to remember any of that, but to realize where it finally takes us and where these epochs are. These are each one to know First Temple era, First Exile, Second Temple, the time of the Tanoim, the rabbis of the Mishnah, the time of the Amoraim, the rabbis of the Gemara, post-Gemara, Gaonim, Rishonim, Achorim, different historical periods of time, till it takes us to the present. But right now, all you really need to know, we are now in what year? 5779, right at the bottom there, 5779. That's where we're at. And the whole book of Genesis, the whole Torah really ends where? In what year? If you add up all these years, 2308, 139, 38, 37 days, it puts us at point 20, where am I? 28. That's bolded. 2488. That's the number you need to know. The entire five books of Moses is approximately 2,500 years of world history. When you finish the Chumash, you have knocked off almost 2,500 years of Jewish history. That's an important thing. Gives you context to know how long ago that happened. When we look at other books, we have an idea of how that happened as well. Okay, any questions, comments? I think your heads are spinning enough. Okay, but by next week, I'm really going to want you to know those first four letters, numerical values, and I'm going to want you on, with your own hands to write the letters. Free stuff. With your pencil and a paper, just write an olive the way you see it there.
Not because.
No, because I want you to remember what it looks like. That's all. Very easy. Yeah. Well, however you want to paint it. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you just say what the English was for, like, the Midbar was desert?
It means that in the desert, literally, and Devarah means words.
And the first three?
I'm sorry?
And Bereshish, Shmos, and
Bereshish, in the beginning. Shmos means names. Vayikra, and he called. Okay, good. We're all amazing. Okay, we're going to continue this timeline, and then we're going to do the Ten Commandments next week, and we're going to show you how you can remember the Ten Commandments in order. Okay, and whatever else I could think of till then.